الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, there will be a brief session conducted by Maulana Tamim. Everybody is requested to participate. Jazakallah khair.
سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد فقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. الحمد لله. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, it's a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has blessed us with His deen. And when we speak about deen, one of the major problems amongst Muslim circles, those that are not practicing Islam, or they say, you know, brother, I'm a secular Muslim, or brother, you know, I'm an easygoing Muslim, I'm not a fundamentalist, meaning I don't consider practicing Islam to be part of Islam. We're not talking about those people. We're talking about the people Shaitan has a different tape that he plays for everybody. Right? Shaitan is the oldest ustad. He's the oldest ustad that knows how to, even the trick to even try to lead the anbiya alayhim salam astray. He does not even leave the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not leave Adam alayhi salam, and he did not leave Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he will not leave me and you. If Shaitan made effort upon Adam and Ibrahim, then me and you are nothing for him. We are nothing. So he has a tape, special tape that he plays for everyone. The person who says, I'm an easygoing Muslim, that tape he plays for them, he leaves them. But those people that consider themselves practicing Muslims, he will not leave them as well. Shaitan, he joins a believer and he tries to bother a believer and affect him in everything that he does, to such an extent that comes in a hadith of Sahih Muslim that when a child is born and a child screams, you know the first scream that a child does, and from that there's a sign that the child is living. The child screams and his lungs open up. It is from the poking of Shaitan. Shaitan pokes that child here on his side, and the child screams, and Shaitan says to him, be aware that I am with you. Hadith of Sahih Muslim. From that time, Shaitan is with you till the day that you leave this life, you leave this world. Shaitan will be continuing to affect you, continuing to try to work on you and take you away. And one of the major things that I think is Shaitan, he affects the Muslim circles. He puts in the mind of a person who is practicing, you're doing enough, this is all you need to do. We make specific groups amongst ourselves. We make specific ideologies amongst ourselves. We give ourselves specific routines. And you do that daily routine and you say, I don't have to do any more than that. A person, he prays 5 daily namaz, his 5 daily prayers. And in his mind, Shaitan has convinced him that you pray 5 daily prayers, you're the best person in the world. You don't need to do anything else. That's it. That's all you need to do. You're a 5 times namazi. Imagine how much you have the ticket to Jannah. And like this, he makes you or convinces you that you fulfilled this aspect and you are completely okay. You fulfilled this aspect, you are completely fine. And in actuality, our deen is a complete deen. It's a complete way of life. And it encompasses various, multiple different facets, multiple different aspects. And I was thinking to myself, why are the likes of Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar ibn al-Khattab and Uthman ibn Affan and Ali ibn Abi Talib and Aisha Siddiqa and Fatima al-Zahra radiyallahu anhum ajma'een, these people, if you read their words, every one of them said that, oh, I wish I was never born. Ya laytani kuntu nasiyan mansiya. Ya laytani kuntu shajaratan tu'dad. If only I was forgotten, and forgotten that I was forgotten. Hazrat Aisha said this. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said, only if I was a tree that would be, or a leaf that was uprooted and thrown away. Umar ibn al-Khattab used to, you know, cry. He used to go to the house of Huzaifa radiallahu anha, who was sahibu sirri Rasulillah. He was the one who was the keeper of the secrets of Rasulullah. The one who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him all of the names of the munafiqeen. In the middle of the night, he went knocking on the door of Huzaifa. He said, oh Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, please, I need to speak with you. He said, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, at this time of the night? Is everything fine? Is everything okay? He said, no, everything's fine. Everything's okay. I just have a very important question to ask you. He said, what question do you have to ask me at this time of night? He said, I just want to know. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told you all the names of the hypocrites. Please just tell me, you know, if you would, am I on that list? Am I on the list of the munafiqeen? Please, can you tell me that? Because I can't sleep. It's just on my mind. I must be on that list. I'm on the list of those hypocrites. How can you say such a... Basharaka bil Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa has promised you Jannah. Oh Amir al-Mu'min, how can you say this? He said, really? He said, you're not on that list. Of course you're not. He said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Of course, I'm not lying to you." He said, "That's fine. I know what you said, you've said, but I know myself. I'm a hypocrite. I know myself. I know myself well and good. I know I'm a hypocrite." Allahu Akbar. Respected brothers and sisters, this is Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Umar fil Jannah." Where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about him that if Umar would be treading a path, then Shaytan would tread another path other than that path of Umar. And do you remember what I said in the beginning? That Shaytan has a way for each and every person. Shaytan has the way to lead the Yahud and Nasara astray. A very interesting book about this in this regard is the Talbis Iblis of Ibn al-Jawzi, where he begins and he talks about every single group and every single jamaat and every single movement, and how Shaytan has led every single one of them astray, from the idol worshippers to the Jews, to the Christians, to the Sufis, to the fuqaha and faqis, to the scholars, to the lay people, to the this, to the that. And he talks about all the talbis, all the trickery of Shaytan for each one. But look at, Shaytan would not tread on the path of Umar. What was the thing about Umar? And I looked into this. I thought and pondered over this, that Umar radiallahu anhu at all times was critical of himself. He at all times was critical of himself. He would criticize himself. And Ibn Ata'illah Iskandari rahmatullah alayhi, he said this one point. He says, the moment that a person is radi of his nafs, that is the moment that Allah Ta'ala is displeased with him. The moment that a person is radi of his nafs, that, you know, I'm perfect, I'm doing right, I'm good. He says, the moment that a person stops criticizing his nafs, that is the moment that he starts his downfall. And the moment that a person is criticizing himself, that is that moment when he is closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Criticizing oneself. But what do we do? We criticize others, and we are radi with ourselves. Radi with the self, and critical of others. Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab was critical of himself. Critical of himself. And he was Amir al-Mu'mineen. He had well-wishing for others. Critical of himself, but well-wishing for others. But our condition is, we are critical of others. We see the speck in the eye of our brother, but we don't see the branch which is lodged into our own eye. And this was that particular quality that Umar ibn al-Khattab had, that Shaytan would run away from him. Because any good thought that Shaytan would put in his mind, he said, "You did good." "No, I didn't do good. I know myself. I'm from the munafiqeen." And he would fall sick. Thinking of this, he would become sick, and people would make iyadat of Umar radiallahu anhu. He would become so concerned about his condition that he would become ill. And this point has been elaborated in detail by Hakimul Ummat, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullah alayh, a very great scholar, very great alim of our century. He has a book called Ta'lim al-Din. Anyone who has not read Ta'lim al-Din, I think should read this book cover to cover. And inshallah, this book has been translated in English as well. It will be published soon. I'm very happy with the translation of this book. Because Ta'lim al-Din, in the beginning, Hakimul Ummat rahmatullah alayhi, he talks about this sickness in the ummah. That we hold on to one aspect of something. And holding on to that aspect, we become very happy with the self. That I am, mashallah, I've done the right thing, and I'm on the right path. But Hakimul Ummat rahmatullah alayhi, he said, and this is why I think that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were always worried, and they're always critical of themselves. And this, not knowing this fact, is the reason why we're always happy with ourselves. Not knowing this is why we're happy with ourselves. And when the Sahaba knew this, this is why they were always displeased with themselves. What was that? The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned by Hakimul Ummat rahmatullah alayhi in Ta'lim al-Din. He says the deen has five shobas, five departments. Imaniyat, ibadat, muamalat, muasharat, and akhlaqiyat. Five departments. Deen is made up of these five things. If you look at all of the entire Quran and Hadith volumes, then you will find that all of the teachings of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it revolves around these five shu'bas, these five departments. And this is what Hazrat Thanwi says. He says, our crisis in this day and age, brothers and sisters, from the time that I've come and started working in the community, and I want to share this message, that I've been working in California for about, not a long time, for about 8 years, almost a decade. And I want to share with you that as an imam for one decade, or almost a decade, what have I seen? The thing that I have seen is exactly what Hazrat Thanwi Rahmatullahi has mentioned in this book, Talimuddin. This is my experience. That we hold on to one aspect of the deen, and we become very pleased with ourselves. That I am the best Muslim in the world, and I don't need to do anything. Why? Because I am doing this. This is the Hazrat Thanwi Rahmatullahi said that this is the crisis in the ummah today. And wallahi, 100 years after Hazrat lived, now in this time, in this century that we're living in today, right? 1436, 2015, right? Is it 15 or 14? It's 15 now, right? In this time, I see that the same thing that Hazrat saw in that time, I see it applicable in this time, especially amongst Muslim circles. Muslim circles. In whatever circles we are doing khidmat of deen, or we are practicing deen. In our circles, this is very dangerously eating us from the core, and we don't realize it. And I recommend everyone, they should read the books of Hazrat Thanwi. Why? Specifically because he goes right for the jugular. Hazrat doesn't beat around the bush. Hazrat Thanwi, he goes right for the jugular. And in the first page of Talimuddin, I think he solved the crisis of the ummah. We were discussing yesterday, I was talking about how that the crisis in the ummah can be revived and we can fix the crisis. Somebody mentioned, and many of you were here, that the Khilafat should be established. And when Khilafat is established, all the problems will be solved. And respected brothers, we see this is another issue. Holding on to one aspect, Khilafat should be established. I just asked one simple question. I told them in Arabic. I said, have you established Khilafat on yourself? Have you established Khilafat on your family and children? Have you even achieved to establish Khilafat inside of your own home? I said, once you have established the Khilafat in your own home, this will be this will become a repercussion. This will become a repercussion. And what is it? If you're not going to be working on establishing the deen upon yourself, then what is establishing Khilafat? Causing a disturbance in the masajid. That is establishing Khilafat. That while a person is speaking and giving a khutbah and a talk in the middle of his bayan, and you're establishing Khilafat. What's going on home? I come home, I cause a commotion in the masjid, and I'm sitting at home watching television. I've established Khilafat, I've made myself happy. No, you've disturbed. Work and make effort. Work and make effort and establish the deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Khilafat is not maqsood, Khilafat is maw'ood. Khilafat is not the objective, it is the promise of Allah. What does Allah ta'ala say in the Quran? وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَنَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلِيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And Allah ta'ala continues. Allah says that we have promised those people that have iman and those people that do good deeds that we will give them khilafat. We promise them. If they do what? Based on the condition of iman and a'mal saliha. When you have iman and you continuously do good deeds, then Allah ta'ala has promised you after doing iman and after having a'mal saliha, after making an effort, then what will happen? When you have iman, when you make an effort upon yourself and upon your family, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا, and then in your community, and then in your society, and then in your country, and then in the world, then automatically this will be asked for by the people. But by making shouting slogans and disturbing lectures, is this how it is established? Very easy to do that. So, brothers and sisters, Shaitan has the tape that he plays for everyone, for me as well, for all of us. Shaitan, but we have to always remind ourselves. Go back and remind ourselves. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi says, he says, the crisis in this time is we hold on to one aspect of it and we forget everything else. We hold on to one aspect, the khilafat. We're holding on to that and we're forgetting everything else that comes under that. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this will only come, this very special gift I will only give you after you've established your iman and your good deeds and you've, you know, become firm on this path of deen and revived the complete deen. Then this is something that Allah ta'ala has promised. Allah will make a way. Allah will make a means. Because I don't want to even get into this topic, but many of you were present and I want to also mention this just for our information. This happened where groups came into certain countries and they established the Sharia and they did not work on the hearts of the people. This happened. We know in history before our eyes. Did it happen or didn't it happen? We know in history before our eyes, just 10, 15 years ago, a couple of years ago, people came and they brought the people into masjid with danda. They did. They established it. Closest thing that you can imagine to the khilafat was established. With the danda, they put the beard on the people's face. With the danda, they put the people inside the masajid. What happened? As soon as they were expelled, you have people lined up at the nai. You have people lined up at the barber to shave off their beards. Lined up. I have family members who are witnesses. People were lined up. Please, can I shave my beard off? I want to be first. Please, can I be first? Making fakhr that we are shaving off the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ and we are releasing ourselves from the clutches of this khilafat. Why? Because the effort was not made upon the hearts. Effort was not made upon the people. Effort was not made upon the community. Love was not established for the deen. And then you have youngsters. I tell you my own condition. You have Afghanis there lining up for shaving off their beard. And you have an Afghani here, in America, that I'm getting kicked out of my house because I want to grow my beard. I was kicked out of my house by my own family when I wanted to keep my beard. You have that extreme example there, and then you have this extreme example here. But what was that love that was brought in my heart that I was ready to be expelled from my house because I wanted to keep my beard in the sunnah of the Prophet? There was effort that was done upon the heart. Effort was made upon the heart. So much love came for the sunnah that I wanted it. I wanted complete deen in my life. And if you're going to work the opposite direction, this is exactly what's going to happen. And these people that call these slogans, this is not the sunnah of the Prophet. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do before his community was established? What did he do? He made amal and he made amal and he made effort upon the hearts of the people. They asked for the hijab. Ya Rasulullah, only ayat of hijab would be revealed. They asked for tahrim of khamr, that alcohol should be prohibited. Ya Rasulullah, if only an ayat would be revealed that alcohol should be permitted. They asked and Allah revealed. It wasn't that they were smacked into it with a danda. That's not the way it was done. Read the seerah. You're going backwards. You're starting from the top of the ladder and you want to go down. That's not the way it works. It never worked that way. And we have examples in our zamana, history, that we've seen, but we're blind. From my own background, from my own people, we've seen this. That they were forced into it. And the people said, we hate this. We hate the deen, we hate the sunnah, we hate prayer. Anyone other than these people. Anybody but except these people. A'udhu billah. So, brothers and sisters, the point I was saying, that this complete, we hold on to one aspect and we think that that's everything. I am praying in a specific manner. If I pray in this specific manner, that is complete deen. I don't need to smile. I don't need to be good to people. That, how many sunnats of the Prophet is there? How many sunnats of the Prophet is there? I grow my beard. I'm following the sunnat of the Prophet. The Prophet did not smile. The Prophet did not have akhlaq. The Prophet did not have generosity. The Prophet did not have rahmah and compassion. This is that crisis. The youth, The elderly, the Muslim ummah at large is being affected by this. So Hazrat mentions imaniyat, ibadat, mu'amalat, mu'asharat, and akhlaqiyat. These five. Number one, he says, faith, your beliefs. You can't say that I'm a Muslim and then believe whatever you want to believe in. It's not correct. For you to say that I'm a Muslim, I believe in Allah, and then to say that Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, he is also a prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To say La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah, and then to say that there's someone after Muhammad Rasulullah also, he is also a prophet. He is a prophet, he is also a prophet. He's a different prophet than this prophet. He was like last prophet, this is seal of prophet. I don't know what. How can a person say that I believe, and then I'm a Muslim, and then believe whatever you want? No, imaniyat is necessary. That when you say I am a Muslim, to believe what a Muslim believes in. To know that Allah is Khaliq and Malik. Not to ask from the graves. Allah Ta'ala is the giver and Allah is the bestower. So Hazrat mentions, this is the first point. And this is exactly what's happening. Muslims say that I'm a Muslim, but then they want to believe whatever they want to believe in. They want to believe whatever they feel like believing in. There was a person I was speaking with, very supposedly intellectual person. And he's telling me, so Moli Saab, so you believe in angels? Things with wings? We're supposed to believe in that? Something with wings? I said, this is Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi. Alhamdulillahi fatir as-samawati wal ard. Ja'il al-malaikati rusulan uli ajnihatin mathna wa thulatha wa ruba'. In the first ayat of Surah Fatir, Allah Ta'ala says, all praise and glory be to Allah who created messengers from angels who have wings. Mathna wa thulatha wa ruba', 200 wings, 300 wings, 400 wings. Allah has said it. So point being is, people, they say, I'm Muslim. But then they have a choice. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَيَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. They want to believe in what makes sense to them and they don't want to believe whatever they think is illogical. This is not correct. And number two, ibadat. This is our favorite. This is our favorite topic, ibadat. Five daily prayers, month of Ramadan, doing the Hajj and giving some zakat. And when we do that, we consider ourselves to be a perfect Muslim. I don't need to do anything after that. I pray my five times namaz. I don't need to smile at you. I don't need to pay your money back when I have to pay your money back. I don't have to have clean mu'amalat. I can be dealing in interest-based transactions and do this, that, and the other. That's not a problem because I pray my five times namaz. It's as if that five times namaz has given us a ticket to Jannah. No. This five times namaz, the ibadat is only one portion. It's only one-fifth of our complete deen. Then comes the mu'amalat and mu'asharat. The most important thing. The mu'amalat and the mu'asharat, our dealings and our social conduct. Mu'amalat are dealings that we have. Lain dain. We call it in Urdu, lain dain, mu'amalat. And mu'asharat is our mu'asharat, our social conduct with people. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, he revived this. Adab-i-mu'asharat. What is adab-i-mu'asharat? Somebody has put his shoes in a specific place. I'll give you an example. Somebody put his shoes in a specific place. That place that he put his shoe, that is his amanat. For you to remove his shoe from that place is doing khiyanat in that amanat. He put his shoe in a specific slot. Now you take his shoe and you put it in another slot. I didn't do anything. We really don't think that that is a big deal. Or somebody's shoes is there, and what do? Somebody's slippers. We just put, how many times have we seen this or done this? We just see some slippers there, we just slip it into it, and we go and we make wudu, and we leave them wet, we come back, and bechara, he puts his feet inside that, and he notices that it's completely wet. He gets this sick feeling, even if he's latif mizaj person. He puts his feet inside, and the whole, his sandals and shoes are, or better than that, it's completely, worse than that, it's completely gone. He's looking all over. How much taklif is he being caused? How much pain and disturbance is he undergoing by you moving the place of his shoes? We don't take this into consideration. We don't even consider this to be wrong. And Hazrat Thanvi's theory and his theory is 100% correct, is because we have not considered this to be part of our deen. This is not important. I have performed my gusht, or I met my peer sahab, or I did this, that, and the other. When I did this, I have fulfilled my regimen for the day. I don't need to do further than this. Right? I prayed my 5 daily namaz, alhamdulillah, now I don't need to do anything more than that. Anything more than that, that's not on the list. No, this has to be added on our list. And for this reason, Hazrat made tasneef of this kitab, Talim al-Din, the teachings of deen, that the teachings of deen is very vast. And that is why Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-muslimu man salima al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. The perfect Muslim, this alif lam comes for fard kamil. This alif lam indicates to a complete individual, to a complete entity. Al-muslimu, yani al-muslimu al-kamil, man salima al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi, is the one who other Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hands, from his doings and his sayings, from his words and his actions. Other Muslims are safe. Not other. Nowadays, you go to the masjid, you're afraid that this person is going to say something to me, or he's going to make fun of me, or he's going to put me down, or he's going to... No. Muslim is somebody that you are safe from his tongue. You have no fear that he's going to hurt you verbally. And from his hands, from his actions, you have no fear that he's going to hurt you physically. Look at the word that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used. Al-Muslim. The complete Muslim. Meaning that if you don't have that, and other people are not safe from your words and your actions, you have not attained complete Islam. You are naqis in your Islam. I will be naqis in my Islam if I don't have mu'amilat and mu'asharat. You owe somebody money. Hey, you owe me $100. What $100? I don't owe you $100. And he knows deep down in his heart that he owes this person. He knows. And one of the most scariest hadith narrated is about mu'amilat. The most scariest hadith. This hadith scares me, and it should scare every one of us. And this hadith is narrated in Sahih Muslim. It mentions that a person will stand before Allah on the Day of Judgment with mountains of deeds. Mountains of deeds. He'll be very pleased with himself that inshallah I will enter into Jannah. And the people will start coming to ask for their haqq. There will be people on the Day of Judgment, because the Day of Judgment is going to be a big court case. What is Day of Judgment? Yawm al-Din. What is the meaning of Deen? Kama tadinu tudanu. Recompense. Yawm al-Din. Deen means recompense. Compensation. So on the Day of Judgment, we will be recompensated for everything that we have done. That is why our Deen is called Deen. Because you do and you get. Whatever you do, that is what you get. Man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. Anyone who does one good deed, that is multiplied by 10. So a person will be standing on the Day of Judgment with mountains of deeds. And people will start coming, waqad daraba hadha wa shatama hadha wa safaka dama hadha wa akala mala hadha. He had cursed this one, and he had usurped the mal of this one, and he had backbited this one, and he had spilled the blood of this one, and he had hurt this one. So what will happen? Allah Ta'ala will say, now you have to give him. You owe him $100. You owe him $100. He says, oh Allah, I don't have $100. No more dollars. There's no more dollars, no more euros, no more rupees, no more riyals. The only thing, the only currency which will be in circulation is hasanat. The only currency that will be in circulation on the Day of Judgment is hasanat, good deeds. So then, no more $100, take 100 hasanat, take 100 nafil namaz, take 100 nafil roza. Can we afford that? I do one roza, nafil, and I feel happy for the entire year that, you know what, I fasted one nafil roza. It's really hard. Imagine 100 nafil roza, 100 nafil fasts. I'm just giving a... not exactly that. I'm giving just an approximation. This is how it could be. How are you going to fulfill $100? You owed somebody $100, and you conveniently closed your eyes on it, and you didn't want to pay it back. How will that be paid back? There's no more dollars. There's no more euros, or it's going to be paid back, and it's going to be paid back with our aman. And the people will slowly take the amal of that man who came with mountains of deeds until he will be left with nothing. And people will still come and said, Ya Allah, this person cursed me, he hurt me, he ate my wealth, he usurped me. Then what will happen? Allah Ta'ala will say, now he has nothing to give, he's bankrupt now. He's bankrupt. And the hadith is called Hadith Muflis. When the Prophet asked his Sahaba, he says, O Sahaba, atadruna manil muflis? Do you know who is the muflis? Who is the bankrupt person? He said, Ya Rasulullah, al muflisu man la dinara lahu wa la dirham. The muflis is the one who doesn't have any money. He said, no, that is not the muflis of my ummah. The muflis of my ummah is not the one who doesn't have money. Because if he has Allah and he has deen and he has amal, he is not muflis. He has something, inshallah. He said, the muflis from my ummah is the one who he stands before Allah with these deeds, and then because of all the messed up mu'amalat that he had, the messed up dealings and social conduct that he had, he will be destroyed on that day. Now tell me, is mu'amalat and mu'ashirat not an essential part of deen? I think it's one of the most important parts of deen. If you look at this hadith, it is the preservation of your deen. That is why some of these sahaba, they used to tremble. That is why some of our akabir, they used to be so fearful. They would be trembling and they would be fearful because they knew that on the day of judgment we could be taken into account by one word. We can be taken into account by one non-fulfillment of a debt. We could be taken into account by one non-fulfillment of a debt. This is not a joke. We should take this extremely seriously, my respected brothers and sisters. For amongst that also is the last and final one, akhlaqiyat, akhlaq, iman, ibadat, muamalat, muashirat, and last one, akhlaq. Akhlaq is what? Akhlaq is tazkiyatul qalb wal nafs. This is part of our deen, to not have jealousy for someone, to not be jealous of people, to know that whatever Allah has given that person, أَيَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. Are you jealous of people for what Allah has given? Whenever you feel jealous of somebody for what Allah has given them, then remind yourself that, where did he get that from? Did he earn it himself or did Allah give it? وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنْ اللَّهِ. Any ni'mah that has been given to you is given from Allah. So this jealousy that comes, this is not part of deen. Remove that, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْحَسَدَ لَيَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبُ. That this jealousy, it devours your good deeds just like fire devours dry wood. When you have this jealousy burning in your heart, it starts eating up your good deeds just like fire devours dry wood. Don't allow this to come in your heart. Be aware of this. Don't allow this. Jealousy and lust. Every woman that passes by, I want to have relations with her. Every woman that passes by, she is a sex object. This is a disease. This is lust. A person should work upon his heart in regards to these things. You should fight yourself in regards to these things. Is that how you'll be thinking about your mother or sister? Tell your nafs, O zalim nafs, do you know that that person you're thinking like that about, that is somebody's sister? That is somebody's mother? That person that you are lustfully gazing at, that is somebody's wife. Do you know that? You should be ashamed of yourself. Tell yourself, criticize yourself, like Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Tell yourself and criticize yourself. This is part of akhlaqiyat. Also to love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To love for the sake of Allah. This is something which is missing from the ummah. Subhanallah. Two people yesterday, they came out of their way just to come to see me. I'm not deserving or worth that anybody should come and listen to me or even see me. I know who I am. I'm not deserving or worthy that anybody should come and see me or say salam to me. But just the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love that some people have, I was so affected by that. That a person came from 45 minutes away, hour away, just to come and see me, say salam. Just to stay with me for a few minutes. Another person came from very far away, fitting me in his time for just 5 minutes. I don't think I sat with the person for more than 5-10 minutes. He just sat with us. And he said, I came to meet you for the sake of Allah. Do we know how great this is? To meet people for the sake of Allah. This is part of the akhlaq. This is part of our deen. To love people for the sake of Allah. Not to have any other maqsad. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a hadith Qudsi. وَجَبَتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَحَابِّينَ فِيَّ وَالْمُتَزَاوِلِينَ فِيَّ وَالْمُتَجَالِسِينَ فِيَّ وَالْمُتَبَادِلِينَ فِيَّ. That my muhabbat and my love, it becomes necessary. My loving you will become necessary if you have four things. Those people who love each other for my sake. I love you. Why? You don't know me. Yes, but I love you because you're a Muslim. Just on the based on the fact that you have kalima in your heart. I love you. Wajabat mahabbati. Allah says, my muhabbat became wajib on you. Why? Because you love each other just for my sake. You love each other just for my sake. Wal mutazawirina fiya. And those who visit each other for my sake. Wal mutajalisina fiya. Those people who sit with each other for my sake. Wal mutabadilina fiya. And those people who spend on each other for my sake. Subhanallah. Brothers who for the sake of Allah visit other brothers of the community. And the noble amal of gasht, this noble amal of jawla and visiting the Muslims in the community, if you do it just for the sake of Allah, for no other reason, just for the sake of Allah, wallahi al-azim, just the effect of you visiting somebody for the sake of Allah, not even saying one word to them, not even giving them any word of advice, just that effect of your love for that person will be a revolutionary change for that person. I've seen that. Giving a hadiyah to somebody just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, that can completely change the ahwal of a person. Da'wat is not just in words. Da'wat is internal. To have love for the ummah and concern for the ummah. And there's people that do this noble amal. To be part of that and visit people just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a noble amal this is. What a noble effort this is. Can you imagine? And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? That the person who visits another person for the sake of Allah, the angel makes three du'as for him. Tibta, wa taba mamshaka, wa tabawwa'ta min al-jannati manzilan. You have done very well. The angel is saying, imagine, you have done very well. That same angel that when you were created, when our father was created, what did he say? Are you going to kill and shed blood and cause corruption? Now that same angel is saying what? Tibta, you have done such a good thing. Wa taba mamshaka, and may your footsteps be rewarded. For every step you take, you are getting ajr. Wa tabawwa'ta min al-jannati manzilan, and for you going to visit someone for the sake of Allah, you have secured a place for yourself in Jannah. One house in Jannah. Why? Because you went to go visit someone for the sake of Allah. Brothers and sisters, people don't even have love for their own brother, blood brother. People don't even consider it an ajr to visit their own blood brother, to visit their own cousin or uncle. This is my sila. This is my own rishta. People don't, for their own rishtadar, they don't consider it ajr, let alone other people. Imagine. And this is the ajr that has been mentioned. This is the akhlaqiyat of Islam. Brothers and sisters, we are part of our problem. Why people consider Muslims to be bad people? People do not see our prayers. Our prayers are usually in the masjid or on the side. People usually don't see our prayers. They don't see our fasts. They don't see our recitation of Quran. That's not a social thing. People see our mu'amalat and our mu'asharat. People see our dealings. All of Malaysia and Indonesia, whole island and continent, that side had accepted Islam through the good conduct of the Yemeni traders that were going and coming. Only through the mu'amalat and akhlaq of the Yemeni traders who were going for the sake of business. They had no other purpose. They went for the sake of business. But in their business, they did that for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Their niyat. And the power of niyat is so powerful. Niyat is such a powerful thing that Imam Shayrani rahmatullahi says, he says the effect of the niyat is like the effect of a sword on a rock. You know, if you take a sword and you hit a rock very hard, what happens? It doesn't break the rock, but it definitely puts, right, a mark. He said, niyat is just like that sword that hits a rock. It'll definitely leave its mark. And it'll leave its mark in a very profound way. That when you do something, and you do it with complete intention, to do what? To say, oh Allah, I love this person for your sake. I have no other intention. I have no other reason. I have no other intention. So brothers and sisters, let us revive these five things. As an ummah, revive these things in our own life. Read about them. Learn about them. Implement them. And always be, I have a checklist. What is missing from my life? Okay, mashallah, I did my prayers. I've done this. I've done that. I haven't visited my relative for a very long time. I haven't called my mom or visited my father. How are they doing? Let me do silay rahim. I haven't given sadaqah in such a long time. I haven't helped any poor people in such a long time. I've not smiled at anybody for such a long time. There's some people, they have, you know, very long time, they haven't smiled at somebody. I haven't done this, that, and the other. Have a list of these things. These are the things that I should be doing. How is my mu'amalat? Do I owe anybody money? Do I owe anybody something? Is any of my dealings incorrect? Is somebody naraz with me? Did I hurt somebody's feelings? Ask, this is a list. We should be checking ourselves. We should be criticizing ourselves more than how Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu criticized himself. And just as Ibn Ata'illah rahmatullah alayhi says, that when you become critical of yourself, then Allah Ta'ala, you will be very close to Allah Ta'ala. The moment that a person starts criticizing himself, that is the moment he starts making taraqqi and progressing towards Allah. And the moment that he's very pleased with himself, that is the minute that he starts digressing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us this tawfiq. May Allah ta'ala give us this ability that we implement this deen, bring this deen in our lives in the most complete way. And the way we do that is becoming, seeing in our lives what is missing. Making an effort on ourselves. Making an effort on ourselves. Every effort that's out there. If a person studies to become a scholar, he should be doing it for his own rectification. If a person goes out in the path of Allah, he should be doing it for his own rectification. If a person is giving sadaqah and charity and doing good deeds and all, he should be doing it for his own self-rectification. Self-rectification should be the core. At every minute you should be checking yourself. This is the sunnat of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu. This is the sunnat of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Every minute he was thinking, how is this affecting my nafs? One time he was carrying some bushel on his back. He was carrying a bushel on his back. He said, oh Umar al-Khattab, what are you doing? We'll carry it for you. He said, no, I just see my nafs is just feeling very high lately. I'm feeling very high lately. I want to carry this bushel. What is this? Always checking himself. That is not that my position as Amir al-Mu'mineen is making me starting to get to my mind. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, maybe we cannot do that ourselves. That is why we require somebody to be connected to a righteous elder. To be connected with our parents, if they know this. To be connected with a sheikh of tarbiyat. To be connected with somebody who will remind us. To be connected with an effort that is always going to remind us. To be connected to the gatherings of scholars who will always remind us of those things that might be deficient in us. Take benefit from the scholars in your community who are like the sheikh of tarbiyat, always reminding us of what is weak and deficient in us. Wallahi, there has never been any gathering of my teachers or scholars. And this is the benefit of majlis of ulama and scholars. That you go in their gatherings and they remind you of those things that might be deficient in you. And this is what, sometimes we need a mirror. We say, okay, I have to rectify myself. That was Umar ibn Khattab. He had gotten his tarbiyat from the Prophet. How are we going to make tarbiyat of our own self? Even a surgeon who does surgery on other people, but when he has a tumor, he has to go under the knife from somebody else. He can't do surgery on himself. He can do surgery up to the part when he gets the anesthesia. And beyond that, he will not be able to do surgery on himself. Even the doctor, he needs somebody. We need a mirror to look at what is the deficiency in me. That mirror is going to tell you very silently, very nicely, what is the deficiency in you. So sometimes we need somebody that will remind us. You think that you can make your own islah? This selected islah is not going to get anywhere. This selected islah of yours is not going to get you anywhere. Sometimes your selected islah, you'll be making islah of things that you like to make islah of. But there are certain things that you will not be aware of. a qualified scholar will be aware, or a qualified sheikh of tarbiyat will be aware that what are these things inside of you, which you befriend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it could be in any shape, way, shape or form. And I suggest, first and foremost, a person should start just by attending the lectures of the scholars. Because the lectures of the scholars will always be talking and revolving around the need of the community. They see something that is missing, and then they fill that in. And they inform the community that this is what is missing. Mu'amilat is missing. Or mu'asharat is missing. Or akhlaq is missing. Or sadaqah is missing. And that's why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, somebody came and asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what is the best of actions? So he said, to serve your mother and father. Why did the Prophet tell him that? And he told somebody else, what's the best of actions? He says, right, jihad fi sabilillah. So one person, he says, jihad fi sabilillah. And for another person, he's saying, go serve your parents. Because the Prophet knew what each person was missing. Similarly, a true scholar, a qualified scholar, a scholar who is Rabbani and connected to Allah Ta'ala, he will see what is the deficiency in the community and he will speak about that. May Allah Ta'ala purify our hearts. And may Allah Ta'ala rectify our conditions. And may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to complete our deen. And may Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to connect ourselves that we can progress more towards Him. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakallah khair for having me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless this community. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow this community to become a source of guidance for the entire ummah till the day of judgment. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas salah, hayya 'alas salah. Hayya 'alal falah, hayya 'alal falah. Qad qamatis salatu, qad qamatis salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah. Stone. Allah Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد